Blog Talk Radio.
Got it? Do you want it? The Holy Ghost power. Do you need it? The Holy Ghost power. Stay there till you get the Holy Ghost power. Tonight we're going to talk about the Holy Ghost power. Do you have the Holy Ghost? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Holy Ghost power? I got it. Do you want it? The Holy Ghost power. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast, and we just come in on fire with the Georgia Mass Choir and the Holy Ghost power. You can reach us at goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. Once again, our email address is goGOE, that's not how you spell go, goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. Our telephone is 804-313-7853. Again, it's 804-313-7853. Get your Bibles and your notes and your pen and paper, and let's attack and address this thing. Do you have the Holy Ghost power? We began talking some weeks back about who am I? And who am I? Just my soul. What is in my soul? And we talked about some of the things that are there when we're born that came from our genetic disposition and from the genes of our father and our mother, our maternal and paternal genetic disposition. And that's our eye color and hair color and height and weight and even some susceptibility to some diseases and so forth. And then some cognitive issues and so forth will come from our genetic disposition. And then we have things that make us individual, like our fingerprint and our DNA. That's all there when we're born in the flesh. But then when we're born again, guess what? We get a new disposition in addition to what we already have. So those skills and those things that you do well and that are special about us, we keep them. And then added to them when we're born again is a brand new disposition. It's a spiritual disposition that comes from the Holy Spirit himself. There you go. When you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit. You get the Holy Spirit. You get the what we call the indwelling of the Holy Spirit comes when you're born again. And it is the evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is obedience. You have a spirit of obedience, if you will. You have an air of obedience about you. You'd rather do right than to do wrong. Before that, you'd rather do anything. But once you're born again, there's something inside of you that makes you want to do right, even if you don't do right on a regular basis or all the time. So tonight we go back and we do a quick review of last week, and then we get into a couple of new things this week. But actually, before we do that, back in 2004, I was coming from Richmond, Virginia, headed home. It's about an hour from my home. I was headed home, and my van started acting fool, and then it blew up. And it made it into this dealership parking lot, and I just kind of put pushed it out of the way as best I could, locked it up, and started walking. I knew I was about 2 miles from Walmart, so I said, hey, it's been a long day. I'd worked about 8-9 hours in the city, and then the drive, another hour, was like 8 o'clock at night, and I'm trying to walk in the cold and make it to Walmart and catch a ride. Figured I could catch a ride home from Walmart or at least call somebody. This was before I had a cell phone. And the more I walked, the worse my feet hurt. And I had my work shoes on. I didn't have my walking shoes on. And it was becoming a job and out there in the cold and the dark. And it would be nice if I could call somebody and they come get me, but I'm going to try to make it to Walmart. So I had made it about a mile, and it's black dark by this time, and a car came by, a little truck came by, and I saw it slow down and look, and then it went on up the road, and then I saw it circle around, and it came back, and the fella pulled over. It was actually my cousin. A pastor, and he said, hey, how you doing? Grenard, get in. What are you doing walking? And then, I told him what's going on, and he said, oh, that's interesting. He said, I'll take you home. He called his wife and told his wife, look, I'm going to run Grenard home, and then I'll be on bit back. And he said what he had done is he and his wife had gone to Walmart. And usually he will go in Walmart and push the cart around while she does her thing. And he said, well, this time something said, just stay in the car and meditate. So he was in the car, stayed in the truck, and the wife inside Walmart shopping. And then he said, something told him, no, look, you don't need a truck. You're not buying a truck. But why don't you ride down to the dealership and just drive through and look at the truck? So he headed toward the dealership, and then he saw somebody walking, and something said to him, go see if that person needs a ride. And then he pulled up beside me, and it happened to be me. And I thanked him, and we both understood the Lord sent him. The Lord sent him. I mean, that's no question about that. That's not up for conjecture. The Lord sent him to get me because the Lord said, read me to ride. And so what guided him is what we call the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit guided him. And so let's backtrack into his story now. The Holy Spirit that I have is the same Holy Spirit that he has. And so the Holy Spirit chose to send him to pick me up after a long day to get me to where I needed to go. And he could have said no at any time. He could have said to his wife, I'll push the cart. Maybe that would have shut it down there, but he went outside. He could have said, no, I don't need a truck. Why would I ride up there and look at the truck? He could have said that. I don't know why it came as go look at a truck. I don't know how come it came about like that. Maybe that's something about his relationship. But he could have said no at any turn. He could have seen a man walking and looked the other way. He could have gotten to the dealership and gone and looked at the truck for 20 minutes. He could have done any number of things, but he circled all the way around, ended up picking me up, and he took me all the way home. When all I was looking for was a ride to Walmart, to bum a ride home, well, this is the same thing. So my point here is, he said, something told me to come up here. That something is the Holy Spirit. How many times in our lives has something said, hey, go down there and see what's going on? It's like a voice said something to us. Man, something told me to do that. Something told me to pick this up. I remember one day I had a vehicle, and I checked the coolant in it. So I was getting ready for a funeral. I was running late, and my goal was to be about a half hour early, and it was like about a half hour away right now. And I noticed that the vehicle had lost some coolant, so I went. I'm not telling that right. No. I was on my way to a funeral. I wanted some, I had a jug that I keep in the back of the truck, and the jug was empty, and it was sitting out there in the yard. So when I went in, I said, I'm going to fill the jug up, and I forgot at the last second, so I'm standing there to think. So I put hot water in the jug, and I said, what difference does it make? It'll cool off. And so I threw the jug in the back of the truck, and I went to the funeral. I got halfway to the funeral, truck ran high. And I said, oh, this truck had never run out to my knowledge. And now I'm looking at it and I said, oh, my goodness, I'm going to be late for the funeral because I got to sit here and wait for this block to cool off so I can put some cold water in the block. And that's when it hit me. I just feel that the jug over there, I just fill it up with hot water for some reason. I actually was listening to a voice that was telling me to do that. I wasn't paying any attention to why I was doing that. What was that something? That something was the Holy Spirit. Story doesn't have to be as silly as that one or as intricate, but it can be as simple as you were on your way to work and something told you to go the other way. It's a minute longer, but so what? So you went the other way, and when you went the other way, you ran into somebody that needed some help, and you were able to help them. Or you went the other way, and then when you got to work, everybody else was late because that was a major accident on your normal route. And you said, wow, something told me just to go the other way. How many times in our lives have we had something like that to happen? Well, tonight I come and with the Georgia Mass Choir to share that that's the Holy Spirit. That's how he works. It's that simple. It is amazing how simple that is. Don't do this. And we do it anyhow. Go that way. And we go the other way anyhow. That we have to train ourselves to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's so simple. We don't even do anything to provoke it oftentimes. Oftentimes we've seen where we woke up just, and I've heard people say, woke up, and when they woke up, they smelled smoke, just a little bit of smoke, and they went and put out a fire. They could have burned their house down. It's really simple things where the Holy Spirit will send us a message. We may or may not receive the message. But as we grow and mature in Christ, we learn to recognize that voice and realize that's our friend, that's our minister, that's our comforter, that's our guide. Do what he says. To quench the Holy Spirit, we talked about it last week, quench not the Holy Spirit. To quench the Holy Spirit is to hear that voice and not do what the voice says. To treat it as just a mere suggestion. Well, that may be what it is, but the Holy Spirit is never wrong, never tries to lead you astray, never tries to indulge you into something you can't handle. The Holy Spirit will lead you in the way of peace, will lead you in the way of righteousness, will keep you out of trouble, protect you, guide you, all of those things. But how many of us have heard the voice say, don't do that, and we do it anyhow, and then we pay the consequences later. And we'll sit there and say, you know, something told me not to do this. Something told me not to do this. The Holy Spirit. And that's a simple example that I think most people can relate to if you have the Holy Spirit. So the next question is, I don't know if I got the Holy Spirit or not. Do you have that circumstance in your life? If you had those things, you might have the Holy Spirit because that's the way he operates. And I say that's the way he operates is because we always say he when we're talking about Jesus. We say he when we're talking about Father God, the Master, the Owner, the Creator. But then we get to the Holy Spirit, we want to say it. The Holy Spirit is the same he that Jesus and the Father is. So we use a pronoun, it's he, a person. That's the most important part is Holy Spirit is a person. So that's why we say the third person of the Holy Spirit, no less than the first person, because it's the same person. So then we're not talking about the Trinity tonight, but so I'm talking about those things that are inside of all believers in Jesus Christ. And we get to tonight, the second part of the teaching on the Holy Spirit. The best part of that teaching is what I just taught. It's once Jesus says, so the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. It's the same Spirit that ministered to, kept, and made Jesus perfect when he was on the earth. That's the same Spirit that we have access to, that we have living inside of us now. So again, we're talking now about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which comes at born again. So when we accept Christ as our Savior, receive him as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, changes our DNA, gives us a spiritual DNA, and his Spirit is there at our beck and call all the time, 24/7. We can reject it. Amen. We can grieve it. We can quench it. We can hear what he has to say. We can see what he wants to do with us, and we can say no at any time. And all too often, I think a lot of us say no because we have not trained ourselves to be led by the Spirit. We've not train ourselves to be guided by the Spirit. We've not trained ourselves to see through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. We've not trained ourselves to know always the voice of the Holy Spirit. So next week we're going to talk also about differentiating and knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit, because some people will say, well, I heard a voice tell me to do that, but I didn't know whose voice it is. Next week, I'm going to show how easy it is to distinguish that voice. So we must know this here, that we need to know who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is, how do you answer that? Who the Holy Spirit is, it's the Spirit of Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that Spirit will testify of him. It's the Spirit of Jesus. Where does the Holy Spirit live? He's a spirit. He's a spirit. He lives in the hearts of believers. We call that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When does the Holy Spirit come? The Holy Spirit comes to indwell, to live in us when we're born again. The Holy Spirit comes in infilling at what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's two different things. But the Holy Spirit, you receive the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, when you accept Christ as your Savior, he comes to live within you. He says, I and my Father will come and live, make our abode within you. So he lives within us. What is his role? John 15:26, we spent some time on that last week. John 15:26 says the role of the Holy Spirit is to testify of Jesus. It's the Spirit of Jesus testifying of Jesus. How does the Holy Spirit operate? Gives his dynamic power to the believer. Wow. Jesus, in the 10th chapter of Luke, sent 70 out to do evangelism. But before he sent them out, he gave them the power to defeat demons, to cure diseases. That's the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit was here before Pentecost, incidentally, because he was operating in Jesus. He shared this power with the 70. They came back. First he sent the disciples out with the same instruction. The 12 disciples came back and said, even the demons fall before. So that's the power of the Holy Spirit. So then why does he give us his dunamis power, the Holy Spirit power? Why does he give that to us? And in 1 Corinthians 12:7, which is talking about the gifts of the Spirit, says he gives us to profit withal, to bless others. Most of the gifts of the Spirit are to bless other people. There are one or two that are specifically just for us, for our empowerment, but for the most part, they are to bless other people. Seven of them are specifically to bless the church. And the Holy Spirit will, according to St. John 16:8, reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. He will guide you into all truth. Remember that John 8:32 says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Talking about Jesus. You shall know Jesus, and Jesus will make you free. So he says he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into Jesus. He will keep you aligned with Jesus. Same Spirit. He will show you things to come. Some people say they have a gift of prophecy, and they can see things that are coming and whatnot. That's the power of the Holy Spirit operating in the prophetic. He will glorify Jesus. You will never find a case where the Holy Spirit ever recommends, does, moves, guides, comforts us to do anything against Jesus. You won't find the Holy Spirit operating contrary to the Word of God, because the Word of God was inspired by the Holy Spirit. You will not find the Holy Spirit in contradiction with itself, working against itself. So if you, and I know I'm in the middle of a list here, let me finish the list. It will show you things to come. It will always glorify Jesus, and it will take of Jesus and show it to the believer. That's what Jesus said the Holy Spirit will do in St. John 16:8. Now, sometimes some people have some gifts that are just incredible. And they have gifts to speak things, and they come to pass. And they have the gift to speak things, and they disappear. But they cannot speak against a person that has the Holy Spirit, and they cannot speak against the Word of God, and they cannot speak contrary. There are other folk that can do things that are very similar to what I just described without the Holy Spirit. And Deuteronomy, the author tells us there that if you run into somebody that has this incredible power, and this person is able to bless people and do this and that, they even are able to curse people, you can entertain them until they tell you to do something contrary to the Word of God. And if they say, let us go worship a god by another name or another god, leave them alone. Abandon them immediately, because the Holy Spirit will never curse himself. He will never curse a person that has his spirit, any of that. And sometimes people get confused, and sometimes they spend too much time talking to the devil and listening to him, and they get confused and think that we can curse people within the body of Christ with the spirit. That's what that guy in the book of Numbers 20, that was on the fool on the mule, he thought that he could go and curse the people of God for money. And Balaam, and God showed him, no, that's not so. You can bless my people. You can bless my people, but you can't curse that which is already blessed by God. So if a person has the Holy Spirit, you can't curse them. People of the world may be able to do something against them, but those that are in the body of Christ cannot curse themselves. God doesn't permit that. It's foolishness. Now, so that's the who, what, when, where, why, and how. I talked about John 16:7-15. John 14:15-17 says the Holy Spirit, that's where here's a witness. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's the third person in the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And what or who is truth? John 18:37, Jesus tells Pilate that they will come and testify of me, and they will testify of the truth. Pilate asked him, what is truth? John 8:32 says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the truth. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. And so we're moving right along. We go come back to, I have a note here that Matthew 12:31 says, wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And we talked a little bit about this last week. I just want to send a reminder that there is such a thing as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. It's the same thing. There is that out there, and that's what we call the unpardonable or the unforgivable sin. And have you or your children or anybody committed that sin? Probably not. Because that sin means that you have accepted Christ as your Savior, walked with Christ as your Savior, had the Holy Spirit, and then turned and said, I don't want this anymore, and denounced them and walked away from them and pronounced that God is not real or that God is evil or something ridiculous as that. That's the now there are some characters in the scriptures who have committed the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. One of them will be Judas. Judas walked with Jesus for over 3 years. Judas performed miracles, signs, and wonders as shown in Luke 10. Judas was there for many of the healings of Jesus, many of the deliverances. He walked with Jesus and made up his mind to go the other way. He abandoned them. He left, betrayed Christ, showed up, betrayed him with a kiss in the garden. The author of Hebrews in the 4th chapter and the 10th chapter says, for that person, there's no more sacrifice of sin. That's the person of Judas. So if you want an example, Judas is an example of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost or blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So if you're worried about, have I done that? No, you probably have not. You would know if you did. It's a deliberate act. It's not one that you accidentally did or did out of ignorance. There are other things to worry about, but that's not one of them. And so moving on, we continue that, you know, something is the Holy Spirit. Something told me to do that. Yeah, that was likely the Holy Spirit that you were dealing with there. So then I'm going back to finish up list. Grieving the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He gives a list of things that we are not to do. No foul or abusive language, no bitterness, no fits of rage or uncontrollable anger, no evil speaking. And then 2 Timothy 1:7 gives us some more. Galatians 5 gives us some more. Ephesians 5 gives us some more. Colossians 3 gives us a laundry list of things that grieve the Holy Spirit. And these are evil behaviors. These are, what's the word, dirty things, vile behaviors, and stuff that just would not be named among the children of God. Those are the things that when you're doing those things and somebody that's holy walks in the room, you cover them up. And so, because you know it's dirty. So in the middle of that list, he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. You're actually rejecting the Holy Spirit when you're doing those things. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. Literally grieving him, because he didn't come here for you to do sin. He didn't come here for us to look like that. He didn't come here for the household of God to look like sinners looking. You can't tell one from the other. So two things there. Quench not the Holy Spirit. Well, I talked about blasphemy the Holy Spirit. Then I said grieve not the Holy Spirit. And finally we say quench not the Holy Spirit. That's the denying or suppressing the works of the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth unless we suppress, or quench him. Now, if a voice said to you, go the other way, and you don't do it. The voice said to you, ride up to the dealership and look around, and you don't do it. That's not the end of the world. That's disobedience. But we're not made for disobedience. We're made for obedience. We're built for obedience. And the blessings come on the back of obedience. The power comes on the back of obedience. So now start to examine in our lives that spirit saying something to us and we didn't even recognize it. Because next week we come back and we go to John 10 where Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. And then we're going to go to 1 John 4 that says that we know the voice. We know the Holy Spirit. We recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. We as sheep know our shepherd. And then Jesus told Pilate, they know my voice. That's those that follow me. They know my voice. They understand me. And so now we got to stop and ask ourselves, do I know his voice when he speaks to me? And then next week we're going to show, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You're not in a position where you say, which spirit told me this? We're not. We'll know that next week. That's in 1 John next week. But tonight, I just want to make sure that everybody realizes that there is something called indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You get that when you're born again. Shore up, make sure that you're born again, that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When you're born again, all these things I've been teaching about are now in your soul, and they're there for your use. They're not there to be hidden from you, fruits of the Spirit, and we haven't talked yet about gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit himself is there within you. Well, this is it for tonight. We will see you again on Jeremiah Speaks at 7 p.m. on tomorrow evening. In the meantime, go teach and baptize and stay tuned for the fivefold ministry with Apostle Margie Mercer. May God bless and keep you.
God bless you again and again. You have been listening to Jeremiah Speaks. And we thank you so much for listening to Reverend Reed. God bless you. yes, the songwriter says, I need the Holy Ghost power. I'll say it again. We need the Holy Ghost power. You know why? Because when we have the Holy Ghost power, we know that it's love. We know that we can walk in love. We know we can fellowship in love, and that we have the love on the inside of us radiating from our Lord and our Savior. Let us go across the waters now as I give you an update on the international ministries. Let us listen to a little bit of Bob Marley and the Wailers. God bless you. Again, you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. We want you to sit back and relax as we give you an update in reference to the fellowship. God bless you, and let us get started. Amen. Songwriter says, is this love? Because when I have love, I know how to treat you right. Amen? Do you know how to treat your neighbor right? Do you know how to treat your friends right? God bless you. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Well, we're going to shift in another direction today. I had a call from one of our churches abroad, and we have good news and an update. You know, I believe when God moves, we need to move. And when there are things that's moving in a certain direction, God has a shift. And when he shifts, we should shift, because that is the favor and the blessing of God. You know how you used to look at those movies, and when the wind would shift to a different direction, the captain of the ship would say, Pip, put up the sails, and let's shift over to the left or shift over to the right. So we're shifting. Well, first of all, I want to bring to your attention, over this next 2 months, I've decided, with the ministers being led by the Holy Ghost, we're going to talk about our national and international ministerial alliance. I say it again, it's the National and International Ministerial Alliance. What that means is that we have a worldwide fellowship. When I mean worldwide, I mean worldwide. We reach as far as China, Pakistan, the Arab nations, Africa, England, Bahamas, Jamaica, United States. So we have a fellowship that's been in existence for 30 years. And during that time, I am the executive director, and I am the chief correspondent of this international ministry. My job as the apostle and executive director is to network churches worldwide in love, in fellowship, in unity, and in the body of Christ. So I'm calling all fivefold ministry leaders, apostles, evangelists, preachers, teachers, prophets to listen over the next couple of months. We're going to open up our membership because I need your help. I was informed today by the bishop over the churches for the Caribbean that we have now three more pastors in the Caribbean, one that's by Cuba, another one in the Bahamas, and we've been invited to Africa. The goal is to network all of us so that we can correspond. We're going to connect with our archbishop. I'm going to have a Caribbean hour where we're going to have the Caribbean flavor of radio is going to join in the ministry, and we're going to network as brothers. We're also going to establish TV programs to be seen around the world to 4 million people or more, and we're going to establish a convocation, our first one, at least for this part of the ministry. I'll say it like that. 30 years ago when God gave me this vision, I was able, not 30 years ago, 20 years ago, I was able to go to Africa, Russia, England, different places as far as being invitations to India, to Canada, and to Israel. I went to half of those countries, and as a mom with small kids, I decided to back, and I asked God to give that mantle to someone else, that baton, because I wanted to be a mother to my children. However, before I left, I established the blueprint that I was taught by Morgan State University to set up fellowships and chapters all over the world for this historical black college, and I used that outline as a guide. I worked in the development office of alumni for 12 years, and we were able to set up churches in Russia, Africa, and England. With the apostles there, they came to the United States to meet me, and we sat down a governing board. They were able to get their ordination license to set up some churches here in the United States. Some have traveled far as Canada, India, different countries in that direction. And then the chief apostle himself, he was elected to be over 900 churches in Africa. He's the presiding prelate. After which the churches in England was able to network and fellowship together. And based on our instructions, they separated in locations so that it could be a united front and they could cover more of that city of Britain. In England, when we left there, we went to Russia. And as I said, they had over 20,000 persons there in Kyiv, Ukraine, and Russia. And we helped to establish those ministries as they stretched out around the world. So God has blessed the fivefold ministry that we have affirmed apostles. We have ordained bishops and various leaders. We have consecrated different leaders and elders, and we were able to help shift them into their ministry. Well, I've been enjoying my rest, and I was so glad that others was willing to go forth and to go on. And I just wanted to sit back and be a mom. I didn't want to travel around the world because my heart is with my family. But I promised the Lord that if he opened it back up again, I will be obedient and go back around the world. So I'm giving you this invitation as you listen tonight. I want all fivefold ministry leaders, I'm going to need your help. It was reported today that, as I said, we have a church coming in from Cuba, Bahamas, invitation to Africa. I think it's three pastors in the Caribbean, as well as others. And you know we have Pakistan. So in doing so, when I spoke to the apostle today, I had spoke to him that he would like a Bible college. So I'm asking all those who would like to participate in worldwide revival and evangelism, we would need teachers on Zoom to work with us to teach Jamaica various subjects. It's more than biblical studies. It could be anything from resume writing to job ethics. because when I went to Jamaica, I noticed that most of them worked at hotels, and some of them had ideas of wanting to be a nurse and do some other things. And it was so far for them to walk miles to get to a church or get to a location where they could get food and different things like that. I love Jamaica. It was so free. So as I met the people there, Apostle Mears and Glory House Deliverance and Healing Church, majority of the people in the area came out. They walked. So we want to establish a school to really help those. We want to bring some of the kids to the United States. One gentleman in particular who turned me on to the song Carry Me by Kevin Dalzwell, that's one of my favorite. I know you know I love that song. I want Baltimore School of the Arts or even, you know, schools in New York to see him dance. So we're going to try to send out his resume and profile because truly he is a praise dancer in the Lord. And that his dream is to go to college, and the church now is sponsoring him to get books so that at least he can start at the freshman level. So we hope to bring some of the students here. We hope to set up fellowships. We hope to set up the Bible class there. We're going to do different services. I was able to talk to Mr. Phil French, a saxophonist. Do I have a bio about him? I was able to meet this person. I spoke to him yesterday, and he told me that he used to play at Shallow Church of God in Christ, that he's also played behind Grover Washington, Stanley Turbatine, Pieces of a Dream, Norman Carter, Brian McKnight, The Temptation, The Clock Singers, Richard Smallwood, Fred Hammond, the list goes on. And also that he was a band leader for Yolanda Adams, and they won a Grammy. So I spoke to him 2 days ago. I asked would he give us a concert, because so many of you have been listening to us, especially over the last 3 years. I appreciate your support. So I want to bring in, I told him to ask Jeff Majors, could we interview him and maybe play the harp, give him time on the radio, as well as Phil French, who worked with Yolanda Adams. He have agreed that he's going to do a live concert so that we're going to set up a Zoom so you'll be able to see him doing it live. Right now he's between New York and Washington. So we are so blessed that the plans for the Fivefold Ministry with the concert, as we have those shows, we're going to try to raise money and give it to the church in Jamaica so they can get a bus so people can come to the church to get the biblical school started. So I will need teachers around the country that want to go online. We will be reaching as far as, like I said, Cuba, the list goes on, Africa, whoever can tune in. And I know that Russia is going to be a part, so we want to do that. And also we want to bring the pastor here to fellowship with us, because now I think we have 4 pastors, 1 bishop, and others that's steady coming. So God has given us this beautiful, beautiful fellowship ministry for all people, all denomination. You don't have to be Apostolic Baptist. You don't have to be Pentecostal. You can just be a child of God. If you have a mantle for teaching and you like to teach, you would like to do worldwide travel, we will show you how to network to get your clearance papers to go in the country. We're going to do our first, hopefully, our fellowship in Jamaica next year. I had a good time staying at the resort there. But this whole ministry is under Apostle Anthony T. Mays. He is my pastor, my covering. He has given me permission to set up worldwide networking of churches and ministries around the world as God give them to me, as he give them to us, because it's not just me, it's all of us. It's a job that we can all participate, whether you're a teacher, singer, writer, or if you have things that you like to travel or you would like to have a mission abroad, we're able to show you how to set your mission up in Africa, the customs there in Jamaica, what's expected there, as well as other countries around the world. So we're going to talk about over the next couple of months, we're going to break the normal broadcast. And as I say, this is a worldwide fellowship of Christian believers. And we will have a package of information that tells you who we are, how we network, how we set up educational trainings, how you can be a part of a radio and TV ministry of your own, and that you can network with us and with our Archbishop. We also do ministry training and counseling on a level for leaders, as far as how leaders should govern a church, how they should talk to the different officers in the church so they can see the vision of the church. As I said, we have done ordination, confirmation. We try to empower leaders around the world. We're going to have telephone board members meeting for now. We'll probably go on Zoom. We're going to have leadership, discipleship training, international evangelism, and I'm in the process now of writing a book of international travel, God's Way. The way God showed it to me, I can show it to you. So we're going to have ministry discounts for different things that you're able to. If you go on our conference next year, you get a discount on the travel, the reference materials. We are in the process of developing a newsletter, which will talk about the different countries around the world. I got to go to China. I have to. This thing been bothering me for 6 months, so that door opened up with Archbishop. So I know you hear me, Archbishop. It's in my spirit, so I need that information again. And whatever other benefits. So I'm giving you the invitation to invite you to the Fivefold Ministry Worldwide Fellowship that you can find out about us. You can find out what our vision is, what our statement of honor, as well as faith, what are our goals. And what we hope is that with the college that here in the United States, we are so blessed to have such great teachers. Many of you have been to seminary, Bible college. You have learned there in Sunday school, and you can teach those persons abroad. They are hungry for the things of God in third world countries. So once we set up our Jamaica branch, we have to do Cuba, then we're going to do Africa and Pakistan, and we want to get on their frequency. So any monies, I know you want to say, how much it costs? How much I got to pay? Well, the monies that is just a small little fee that as membership, because it's really paying for the cost of mailing out materials for the application, as well as information. The monies will come when we do big revivals, we do convocations, when the different artists come on, we raise money because we're trying to get a bus so that people in Jamaica can go to the various churches and stop walking 1 or 2 miles to get services that they need. So I just want you all that, you know, God has a place for all of us for this ministry. As an apostle of God, my job is to help develop, establish, break ground for the work of God and for the leaders in ministry. That's what I do. So when I got the news today that they are joining, you know, I was very shocked that everyone came in at one time, the different pastors and bishops that's coming in from around the globe. So I thank Apostle Mears for that. I hope to interview him this week. We're going to call Jamaica, and hopefully he was due to come to this United States, but they would not let him come because he did not have his results to COVID. He was invited to Canada as well as other places, and he's been commissioned to establish more Christianity ministries and churches in the Caribbean. So God has certain ones and different ones that he used to set up a slew of churches so that we can break bread and fellowship together and be one accord. So we're going to interview him, and we're going to talk to our Archbishop, of course, we're going to establish a Caribbean island radio program where he's going to come on and minister, as well as we have an evangelist that joined 2 days ago, and she do worldwide evangelism, and she's going to give us an update on her travels. And today is her birthday, as she's listening. Happy birthday, Jackie McKay, and God bless you. We'll be sending you a little love offering. And again, happy birthday, and thank you for coming aboard. So if you would like to join us, because, like I said, this was 20 years ago, and this is this is like, well, I'm back out in it to help push the things of God. And that's what I try to do, exalt, encourage, and push you to your destiny. So if you feel you got missionary call, you know, evangelism, you want to set up churches overseas, you're going to go on radio, TV, it's about God. It's not about me. It's not about you. But I'm the type of person that when a door opens up for me, I like to share that information and open up to you, because we are all God's children. He have no respect of person. So this is your opportunity to join a five-fold ministry fellowship. Now, one thing that God impressed upon me, many of you already have a pastor. You already belong to a fellowship or organization of Christian believers. That's fine. This is a fellowship outside of what you all into. So I'll give you an example. If you're with the Church of God in Christ, you could join this fellowship and just Christian believers around the world and set up different things there, or churches of missions. If you are with the Baptist Association or organization, if you want to establish ministries for your church, this is your opportunity, because we're going to be training evangelism and missionary travels abroad. So this is your opportunity if you want to join in, regardless if you got a pastor, bishop, overseer, apostle. This is just a Christian fellowship. It don't take nothing away from the organization that you're in. Everybody can join. Like I say, as a governing body, we are an apostle made. And he's, just to give you a little example about him, I didn't notice about my pastor, but when I went to his anniversary, he was the helicopter pilot for Colin Powell, that's right here in the United States. He was also on the board of trustees for Howard University. Presently, he has a covenant of partners of Breakthrough Ministries Worldwide, radio and TV. He's also have a Bible college and theological seminary, which is called Breakthrough with faculty and staff. As I said, he has the gospel radio and TV, and also that with Archbishop as well, that we are blessed where we can also be blessed by her organization for radio and TV. I need 16 people who's interested in going on live TV around the world to show your ministry, your choirs, those who are interested in branching out to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only for this United States or Facebook or YouTube, that's good, but we're going by satellite, where we will have anywhere from 30 to 40 million people that will be zoomed in. They don't have to call in. They can look at it on TV. It's all denominations, whether you are Black, Christian, Jew, Muslim, whatever it is, this is a fellowship. And why this is so important, many of you know the scripture that God said, when all the nations, which means that when this gospel is preached to all the nation, Africa, Russia, England, Pakistan, the Arab nations, when it's preached everywhere, God will blow the trumpet and open up the sky, and he's coming back. So this organization is one that's been commissioned by God. There are several. And as I say, the door has opened up to us again. And we're going to open up the Ministerial Fellowship Alliance. Now, how you can get in touch with us, if you would like a brochure of information, is F like five, F like four, M like ministries, W like worldwide, .inc, at Verizon.net. Again, it's fivefoldministriesworldwide.inc at Verizon.net. And we do spread the gospel of Christ around the world. We also will talk to you if you'd like to call us personally. The number here in the United States is 410-661-4103. Again, that's 410-661-4103. The coolest thing about being with the Fivefold Ministry, as I said, that we can help you to get discounts on clergy attire, to give you information about setting up computer website bases for radio and TV. We can help you with international travel to make sure that your passport things are in decent order, what shots you would need, as well as what is expected in each country. Each country have their own culture and beliefs. They have their own standard of operation. I remember one time I was going to a particular country, and the apostle or pastor said, "I didn't know if I want you in my country." I said, "Why you didn't want me in your country?" Because Americans are so pushy, and England is pushy, and we're laid back. So they have an impression of us based on other persons who have visited them. So it's, you know, one thing I find, and I'm going to say this, I know you may not like it, I find it so ironic that sometimes in the United States, we have these pastors or bishop apostles that say they worldwide, they international, they have not been out of this United States, they are not fellowshipping with anything abroad. And when they meet people abroad, they want them to come under their ministry. Why would you want people to come under your ministry and you haven't been around the world and you say you worldwide? What you should do is link up with those pastors that's going around the world and fellowship with them. We don't have to deal with ego to always be in charge. I find out that there are those leaders who have been around the world. They are willing to fellowship. They are willing to break bread. They will follow the lead of the Americas. Here, the people hear how we operate because they would like the fellowship. But we can't expect people who've now traveled to 5 to 10 countries and we've never been across this United States and we want them to come up under me. So, you know, you got to just lay back, break bread. You know, like on the day of Pentecost, be on one accord. At the Last Supper, we all sit around on the round table, and we just hear what thus said the Lord of hosts. It's no big eyes and big U's but Jesus. So I don't try to get the ministries to come up under this ministry. I just tell them to come up under the fellowship. It has been very successful. So all this week, I'm just going to give you more of an update. Again, I'm giving you an invitation to join the Fivefold Ministry Fellowship. And we thank you so much. And those who would like to expand or like to stretch out in ministry a little bit more, please give us a call, and you will be surprised that we do things decent in order. We are not out for monies for ourselves, but breaking bread for God. God bless you again. Again, this is the Fivefold Ministry. We just had our update from across the water, so we'll get ready to shift and move in a different direction of fellowship and membership of like minds believer. God bless you and have a nice evening. Amen.